Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to Your World Today. My name is Anisa Isak. And yes, I did promise that we will be talking about the racist two-tier system of citizenship that has been quietly introduced by Preeti Patel in the UK. And we're speaking this afternoon to Brother Naseem Ahmed, who is a writer, commentator on the Middle East and political Islam. And we're speaking to him live from the UK. Brother Naseem, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum assalam, Anisa. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Well, this sounds like Windrush all over again, or am I on the wrong track here?
No, you're on the right track, but I think this is worse than Windrush because we are talking about British citizens here, people who have a passport, people who are born in the UK. But there's a possibility, as we saw with a number of cases, where even though you are born in the UK, the government can strip your citizenship. That's been the case for a while, actually, since 2006. But over the last decade or so, this has exponentially gone up and up. So where it was before one or two, a handful, now we're talking about hundreds of people who in 2017 were stripped of their citizenship. But at least before, what used to happen is that the government was legally obliged to, inform and notify the person that their citizenship has been stripped. And they were given an opportunity to, put the case to a court. But now, with the new proposal that's been introduced, the government can simply strip away your citizenship, not tell you why, and you won't know anything about it. So you could potentially go on a holiday and your citizenship becomes stripped, and then on your return you find, no, you're no longer a British citizen. So this has, of course, many ramifications for especially Muslims in the UK, and that's the direction we're heading. And this bill is now being discussed as we speak in the Parliament this week. So the likelihood is that it will be adopted as law, because, as you know, the Conservative government have a huge majority in the UK Parliament. So given the context and the discussion around terrorism and Israel and whatnot, I think that this will, this will definitely be adopted into law.
Scary thought, I think, for many of the people from, who've come to Britain to settle down, have had family there and have grown, extended family, and all of a sudden something like this comes up and may become law. What are people saying, now that they understand that this isn't something that could come into reality sooner than they expected?
Well, to be honest, they say, people are having discussions which I never imagined we'd be having. I mean, I've been in this country all my life, and when our parents used to say, always keep a home in Bangladesh or India or Pakistan or wherever, because one day you don't know, they may decide to kick you out. So so many people of my generation, older than me, would laugh at that, would scoff at that idea. So saying that we're British, we've been born here, we've been living here all our life, why would they ever kick us out? Why would we ever feel the need to leave the country? Because a secular, democratic country abides by the rule of law and whatnot, abides by international law and all those things. But now, you see many people within middle-class, educated families who you'd think are more integrated than ever with British society, thinking, damn, my parents were actually right, We're getting to a situation where there's a two-tier citizenship where if you, by whatever loose connection you have with your so-called, original country of origin, even if you were not born there, this country can, because of the fact that your parents were born in that country, strip you of your citizenship, saying that you are entitled to citizenship in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in, Malaysia or something along that line, even though you were never born there. So that's the predicament we're in, and people are discussing this now.
I can imagine what that must feel like. I'm just thinking about a young woman who I recently read about, who is a doctor. She was all of 12 years old when they had to leave Uganda and come to the UK, because at that time they were being told to leave within 30 or 90 days. And now she could be one of those people who could be told to go back to your country. She doesn't have one.
Yes, I mean, all this, of course, comes within the context of terrorism. So there won't be any blanket, denial or stripping away of citizenship of, say, Muslims, mm-hmm. Muslims, Pakistanis, Muslims. It won't be like that. What it would be like is individuals who oppose the government on a number of issues, as the net of who is and is not a terrorist gets widened and widened, more and more people become snagged into this new definition yes. of terrorism. So when that happens, the government can simply say, look, you know, you're supporting a terrorist organization, you are promoting violence and you're undermining British security. We have the right to now, under law, strip you of your citizenship. So this won't happen in a blanket way, targeting a community at large. It would be focused on individuals. But the point I'm making is that the number of individuals who will be caught up in this net will become more and more, and you'll see people who should never have been labeled a terrorist becoming labeled as terrorists, and the government just quietly stripping them off that citizenship, and them finding out when they're probably in a holiday back where their mum was born or grandmother was born, or maybe even another holiday in Taiwan or something, and they return to the UK and realize, oh, there's, you know, some for whatever reason they're no longer British citizens. So that's the situation we're heading towards in the UK.
Now, this comes just as Patels also asked to recognize Hamas as a terrorist organization in full. Previously, it was only the armed part of Hamas. But is there any sort of coincidence that this has happened at this particular time?
Well, I don't think it is a coincidence. I think the two have more or less been pushed through Parliament at exactly the same time. Patel, as maybe some of your listeners would be familiar with, is a very pro-Israeli politician. Yes. In her former position as a minister of aid, she went to Israel, carried out a number of foreign policy decisions privately, not as a representative of the UK state, but she went private. She claimed she went on a family holiday, but her holiday, so-called holiday, was paid for by an Israeli lobby. She was even discussing ways to funnel US aid money to the Israeli military. These are the kind of discussions she was having. So she's very hardcore pro-Israeli MP. She's the one who's now putting forward the proposal to make Hamas's political branch a terrorist organization as well, which is something which even former Prime Minister Tony Blair had warned against, mm-hmm. had criticized, you know. So, but she's moving ahead. So the point I'm making, I'm going back to my original point, which is that, you know, once you broaden out the definition of who is and who isn't a terrorist, so in this case, Palestinian activists, pro-Palestinian activists, and Palestinians who have left the country because of fear of Israeli occupation and violence and being, you know, harassed, who are living here now, support the Palestinians in Gaza, aid workers in the UK raising money for Gaza. How will you distinguish between aid workers giving money to Gaza and Hamas authority who controls Gaza? So there's a possibility that many of these people will become embroiled, and they'll get caught up, and they'll end up being labeled as terrorists and then stripped of their citizenship.
So how does Preeti Patel's attempt to drag the UK further to the right and align the country with Arab autocrats and an apartheid Israeli regime that labels peaceful human rights advocacy groups as terrorists serve in any shape or form for the Britain's interests?
Well, as a state interest, there really isn't a strong argument to say it's in the interest of the UK as a country. Of course, it panders to the Israeli lobby. But that said, I think the UK has generally now aligned itself with the Arab autocrats, UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt. And as you know, all these countries consider Hamas to be a terrorist organization. And I think that the argument they're making is that we want to be aligned with these guys, not align ourselves with, you know, human rights issues in the Middle East, how we could be a better partner in creating the situation for reconciliation, peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. So Israel, the UK, with this decision, basically declares itself, incapable of being any kind of player in bringing the Palestinians together. So in the long term, I don't see how it serves the UK's interest in being a leader of human rights, leader of democracy in the Middle East. What it does, it panders to the Arab regimes, it panders to the Israeli lobby. And this is the politics we are in at the moment, where the UK mm-hmm. is really not standing up for the values and the principles it supposedly stands up for. But really, it's become, especially after leaving the European Union, it's trying to basically cater to the right-wing groups, right-wing members, right-wing voters on various issues. And this is really part of that. It's not really about UK security. How in any shape or form, does branding Hamas a terrorist organization serve UK interest? I don't understand it, other than to simply say to Israel, you know, you can do whatever you want with the Palestinians. You can now go after Palestinian Hamas members because we also have declared them terrorists. So feel free to go and bomb them if you like, because, you know, we've kind of wiped our hands off that. And domestically, it suppresses pro-Palestinian activists, because, as you know, pro-Palestinian activism on the grassroots has been going up over the decades, and more so now you'll see that, especially following the last attack on Gaza. So they're trying to put fear and instill fear in a lot of the pro-Palestinian supporters by labeling Hamas, because many of them will now think, oh, if I support Gaza, if I send money, will I now be accused of supporting Hamas? That question will always appear in someone who's trying to help Palestinians in Gaza, even in the West Bank. So it will have a chilling effect, but I think if you define British interests narrowly as just serving this interest of the Saudis and the UAE and the Israelis and the right-wing faction, yes, it serves the British interest. But in the long term, Britain isn't about that. British values are different. It's supposed to be standing up for international law, standing up for minority groups, democracy. And Patel, with this decision, is not standing up for those British values. It's pushed the UK more to the right, aligned itself with the autocrats and the dictators of the world and the racist ideologues on the right.
Hi, Brooke. Mm-hmm. There was a video that I saw recently, which was also quite concerning, and I think it was one of the activists who is an Islamophobe. I think her name is Shelby Cross, and she was talking about getting rid of Muslims completely, telling people how they should walk up to any Muslim, because every single Muslim is either a friendly Muslim planted by Daesh. Those were her words, and I thought that was quite scary, having to live in a country where somebody would say something like that, especially for someone living in South Africa, where alhamdulillah our rights as Muslims have not been trampled upon. But looking at what, listening and watching her say these things out on a TikTok video is really concerning. And listening to what you're telling me right now, it seems as if the situation with regards to Islamophobia is escalating in the UK.
Oh, definitely. I think you guys in many ways have it much better in South Africa because of your history and your fight against colonization. But here in the UK, we are entering a phase where minorities, especially Muslims, are asking questions like the ones I mentioned. What is our place in Europe? And this has not happened overnight. Since 9/11, there's been a concerted campaign by the right. You have individuals, someone like Douglas Murray, for example, who works with the Henry Jackson Society.
Yes.
They said even, two decades, as far back as 20 years ago, that, life has to be made hard for Muslims in Europe, in the UK and everywhere. Life has to be made hard for them. But this was a fringe opinion at that time. But now it's become mainstream. You'll hear this discourse all the time. And the second part of that is that idea that all Muslims are somehow closet Brotherhood members, closet Daesh members, and they cannot really be trusted. So this narrative, though it was on the margins previously, has become mainstreamed in recent years, which is why people feel free to label all Muslims as potential terrorists and not really bear any consequences of their remarks. But yes, it's a long, steady move towards I don't like the word fascism, but it is long towards fascism in Europe. You see that now more so in France, for example, but the British politicians and the British environment atmosphere is not so far off. But the trajectory, the direction of travel is that way, when life for Muslims is becoming harder and harder, and Muslims definitely are asking questions about their place here. Many will, of course, insist on living here, staying here as citizens because they're born here, this is their country, and rightly so. But there will be a small minority who will say, look, do I really want this? But overall, I think the vast majority will organize and will insist on having the basic levels of dignity which is afforded to everyone else. And I think Muslims will, wake up. They need a kick on the backside and realize that, no, life is not going to be cozy and comfortable here. Your rights have to be defended and fought for. If you don't do that, they will be stripped away slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very sad state of affairs, but we thank you very much for your time and for enlightening us on what's happening, and may Allah make it easy for every single one of those affected by something like this across the world, not just in the UK, but I think there's many people in other parts of the world sitting in similar situations as well, and sometimes worse off.
Thank you.
And here in South Africa, I think we watch and we wonder, because it could be us sometime too. Yeah, it's a scary thought, but shukran for your time.
It is. You're welcome, Misha. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. You're welcome.